Jennifer Lawrence says she doesn't have a lot of sex because she's a germaphobe.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
She says she does not let her sex symbol status transfer into her private life. She also forces her partners to undergo STI tests. STI. What does the I stand for?
Infection instead of diseases.
Learn something new every day.
On 1340 WKGN.
Hey, big boy. I hear the way you read these headlines.
Tell you about the Hunger Games. Maybe we can go to a Golden Corral when we're done. How's that sound, Jenny?
Hour two. Kicking off. Cody. Headlines.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Today is Rick Barnes' birthday. Happy birthday, Rick Barnes.
Happy
birthday.
You got to be careful. You got to be careful. You can't. Oh, yeah. We got Ben said you get one bar before we get sued. So congratulations, coach. You were born on this day a long time ago, and you're still alive. And I hope you can win the SEC and maybe get us to our first ever Final Four.
I'm not sure how old Rick Barnes is today. See if we can find that. Maybe we can find
I would assume that you Googling Rick Barnes' age would give you that answer.
Rick Barnes,
let's say
I'm
going to
say 64. I'm going to say 64.
He prices right, me.
Yeah, 64 today. So congrats to Rick Barnes for making it to 64. Tennessee landed a commitment yesterday. It turns out big defensive tackle Elijah Simmons is staying home. And by staying at home, I mean traveling 2.5 hours east to go to school in Knoxville because he's from Nashville. This is a big guy. People were tweeting out photos yesterday of his face because he looks really big and nasty. And you know, he kind of like Alabama. Who's the guy they had who looked like 40? A'shaun Robinson, right? Everybody always talked about how he looked like a 46-year-old uncle.
No, I didn't get that with Elijah.
He looks big and tough.
Yeah, to me, Elijah didn't look old at all. He just looks fat and mean, and there was one picture where he had a chain around his neck.
Yeah.
He looked like someone you didn't want to fight.
Fat and mean. That's a pretty good way to describe
it. Now, when you saw the pictures below his shoulders, he looked fatter and less mean. No offense, Elijah, if you're listening, like, don't come kill me.
Yeah, he's pretty fat. He's 6 foot 353, so he's got about the same build that I do. I mean, he's a little more muscular. He's, you know, he's toned a little bit better, but he's, you know, I'm about 5'11", 355, so we're pretty comparable.
Offer list leaves a lot to be desired.
You mean you're not going to get excited about a guy with an offer from Memphis or Missouri or Tennessee State? A lot of state in-state schools have offered him. Vanderbilt hasn't quite pulled the trigger yet, though, so I don't know what that should tell us.
Yeah, one other SEC school, Missouri. Like, now on one hand, I guess Missouri's had a decent, you know, a decent run of defensive linemen. Now, granted, they've been defensive ends, and, you know, man, his offer list leaves a lot to be desired. His comments, quite frankly, didn't make it sound like this was a real big thing.
Chattanooga.
His comments, you see his comments, he said, I'm going to leave it open. I'm still going to take my visits. I haven't taken any at all. I'm still going to keep my recruitment open. I will be going to Memphis. I still want to take an official visit to UT and Missouri.
Yeah, I want to make sure UT Martin doesn't convince me to go to Jackson instead of Knoxville.
Wait, UT Martin and Jackson?
That's a bad mistake by me. It's in Martin, right?
Yeah, I was going to say.
There's a town called Martin.
I think UT Martin's in Martin.
Well, that's close to Jackson.
I don't feel like it is. I think it's like 4 hours
no,
from Jackson.
No, it is not. It's close to Jackson. I know that for sure. That's a fact.
Like, isn't UT Martin like 3 hours from Memphis?
No, but Jackson's.
UT Martin's like on the northwest part of the state, right?
Yeah, but Jackson's like west.
On the interstate headed to Memphis.
Midwest part of the state. I'm going to say it's maybe an hour away, tops. Am I right, Ben? What's the distance?
Martin, an hour away from Jackson?
It's an hour and a half with moderate traffic.
Okay.
Okay. It's not 4 hours.
Don't come out of this feeling like you were right.
It's also not the same town.
I hope this kid can't be convinced to go to UT Martin at Jackson. I hope he can't fall for that one. But I'm going to go ahead, and this is just me looking and reading his comments and reading his offer list. I'm going to give this kid a 30% chance of actually coming to UT. And that might be high. This is one of those I'd be surprised if Tennessee kept him or if he stayed at Tennessee. I feel like this was a, well, we've been getting our ass kicked in-state recruiting. Georgia just grabbed a lineman.
Let's get us one.
One of our linemen got arrested for false imprisonment. We need some good news. Hey, Elijah, would you like to come to Tennessee?
Well, Mizzou offered him. We offered him June 12th. So,
yeah, I mean, he came to a camp, and he performed pretty well. That's what I'm saying. It's not like he was here this weekend and was like, oh, man, I love Tennessee. I want to come. You know, we offered him a month and a week ago, right? Like June 12th. We're at July 17th. So, you know, a month and 5 days ago we offered him. I think we looked and we needed some good news because, like I said, you lost in-state again to Georgia and you had a player arrested.
Yeah, Mizzou offered him a month before we did, so at least he had an SEC offer when we offered him. Of course, Missouri's not really the team that you want to be competing against. You know, that's not really the same category you want to be mentioned in for guys. But anyway, so he's committed for now. The NCAA Final Four, switching to basketball now. The Final Four schedule has been set through 2026. The remaining sites for the Final Four.
Ever going to be Houston. In Atlanta? Are we ever? Wait, it was Atlanta recently, right? Wasn't it Atlanta like last? No.
Was it last year? No, Atlanta's coming up. Okay. So basically, this is LA got snubbed.
Atlanta was the Elite Eight. Yeah, Sweet 16 Elite Eight.
No L.A. The NCAA announced Monday the future sites through 2026. So who won out? Houston, Phoenix, San Antonio, and Indianapolis were awarded the stage for 2023 to 2026.
Shout out to Indianapolis.
Atlanta has it in 2020. So the final four from 2019 to 2022, we got Minneapolis, Atlanta, Indy, New Orleans.
Those are pretty strong. I look forward to going to Minneapolis this year. I'm going to go up to Minnesota. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, the Vols, when they get to the Final Four, I'm going is what I'm saying.
Oh.
Next year, Atlanta, we'll lose Admiral, we'll lose Alexander. It'll be tough. Be tough to be an upper-tier team, I guess, 2 years from now. Unless you can get Trey Mann and C.J. Walker. Like, those are going to be young versions. Really good players.
Ed Orgeron said it was a mistake hiring Matt Canada yesterday. He spoke at the SEC Media Days, which are going on right now. Said he made a mistake in hiring Canada as his OC last year, or following the 2016 season, and that current coordinator Steve Insminger was the right choice all along. He was the tight ends coach there. Canada spent last season, of course, at LSU before mutually parting ways with the school. And Orgeron promoted Insminger. So he publicly said, any interest in the fact that Coach O publicly said he made a mistake in hiring Matt Canada?
Yeah.
It's something that Butch Jones would have never said in public. About a coordinator hire, right?
I guess.
I mean, you give him any kind of...
No! Because I don't think the problem was hiring Matt Canada. I think his problem was hiring Matt Canada and then trying to make Matt Canada run Ed Orgeron's offense.
At least he said it publicly, though.
Threw Canada under the bus? Like, I guess, whatever. I don't care.
All right. Baseball, the Orioles have structured a deal in place. They're going through the medicals and paperwork portion of a transaction, apparently. The Dodgers have been – what am I reading here? The Orioles are leading the way for Machado, right?
The Orioles are about to trade for Machado?
Yeah.
Oh.
Or the Dodgers have been very interested, but apparently the Orioles have a deal in place for him. So they're battling with the Dodgers for this guy.
The Orioles and Dodgers are battling for Machado?
Yeah. I think so. Right? Does he already play for the Dodgers? Is that what's going on? What is this?
No, he doesn't play for the Dodgers.
Does he play for the Orioles? He does, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they're battling for him. They want to keep him
in
place.
No, they don't want to keep him. They want to trade him.
Okay.
Because they suck. They're 39 and a half games back. How are you 39 and a half games back from first place at the All-Star break?
He's preparing for tonight's All-Star game.
He's still good.
In what could be his final appearance in a Baltimore uniform. Yeah. How about that? Okay, so yeah, I had it right the first time.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, they're going through medical records and other paperwork involved in the transaction to get rid of him.
Yeah, you nailed that. You were all over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You excited? Your Dodgers gonna get Manny Machado?
No. Not really.
Just move on.
Thank God the baseball season will be over in 3 months.
It's not a good sign when someone tweets in that this baseball segment and includes a gif of someone getting ready to put a toaster in a bathtub. So just move on. They asked us to talk baseball. You got to say you want to hear a baseball talk. There you go.
There we go. We're trying.
Don't say we. Don't say we. I knew where Manny Machado played. Don't say we.
Baseball makes me want to jump in a bathtub with a toaster every time I watch it.
You want to hear baseball talk from Cody McClure? Well, there you go.
That's what
the Orioles are about to trade for Manny Machado.
No, they're about to get rid of him. He already plays for them. Le'Veon Bell reportedly turned down a monstrous $70 million deal from the Steelers. It was the final deal the Steelers offered Le'Veon.
Now, this is kind of weird. Like, shockingly, hey, guys, this might surprise you. Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers didn't reach a long-term deal. Le'Veon Bell is unhappy with his contract. You might be shocked about this. You haven't heard it for the last three bleeping years.
They made one final offer on Monday, just before the deadline, worth $70 million over 5 years, so $14 million a season. It would have given Le'Veon Bell the largest multi-year contract of any running back in the NFL. However, he turned it down because his asking price was in the neighborhood of around $17 million a year. Thought he could bargain with him a little more.
I mean, you're not giving Le'Veon Bell $17 million a year. $30 million guaranteed? Man, it feels like more than I thought Le'Veon Bell was going to get from them. Like, Le'Veon Bell's mad, and the phrase they keep saying is that the Steelers are trying to pay the position and not the player. Meaning, like, you're trying to make me the highest-paid running back. Cool. I catch a lot of passes spread out wide, too. I'm a wide receiver, too. I'm just a really good football player. Pay me as if I'm a really good football player, not the best running back.
I mean, with the short lifespan of running backs, I respect Le'Veon Bell trying to get as much money as he can, but also they were going to give him $14 million a year over 5 years. And so now I kind of look at it like, doesn't this kind of seem like one of those things we might look back on in the future and be like, oh, man, Le'Veon Bell made a big mistake there, because as a running back, that's it. You know, the lifespan's short.
I don't know. I mean, like, on one hand, Le'Veon Bell is right. Like, hey, I'm really good. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not just a running back. I can do more.
But he could blow out his knee next year and never be the same player.
Yeah, he could.
And then you look at this, and he's like, well, $70 million down the drain, you know?
And quite frankly, the Steelers have no incentive to save him past this year. Like, you know, the agent comes out and says, this is the last year we're going to be in Pittsburgh. They have no incentive not to give him the ball 30 times a game. So is he going to hold out? I guess he's not holding out now because there's no – I mean, they're past the deadline. So is he still able to hold out and wait for a deal come September? Can you still do that, I would assume?
The Steelers failed to reach a deal before the franchise tag deadline. Just as it became clear, the Steelers wanted to pay the position and not the player.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like $30 million guaranteed, pretty solid. Now, granted, 5-year deal, there's not really any chance that he would get to that fifth year. I mean, because no one does in the NFL. How old is Le'Veon Bell? 26? Yeah, I mean, by the time he gets 29 or 30, you're not going to feel like he's worth the what? $12.5 million a year? $14 million a year?
Yeah.
So basically play 3 years and get his $30 million, it'd be basically $10 million a year.
I mean, I got to respect him trying to maximize his earning potential, but when you're talking 14 versus 17, it doesn't seem like that big of a difference for a guy who's only going to be in the league for another 3 years.
Yeah.
I think if I was him, I probably would have taken the deal, but I don't know, maybe he can work something out somewhere. Probably not.
Any more headlines?
They can wait.
Okay, let's go to break. Headline you didn't get to that people are excited about that I'm not exactly excited about just yet. J.J. Peterson.
Yeah.
Listed on the roster. They give him a number and everything, number 40.
Right.
Last I checked, people I talked to just this morning, I talked to a couple people last night, talked to someone this morning. J.J. Peterson still working on his math class, like still working on passing that math class. Him being listed doesn't necessarily mean that he has been cleared and that he's on his way. They're still a little worried. Still a little worried that he won't be on campus.
Yeah, and I think there's a good reason for concern there.
Math's hard.
Yeah, it is.
And if you're not good at math, it's hard to get good at math.
What do we know what kind of class it is he's trying
math,
to pass?
Math. I don't know math.
Yeah, that's all that really matters.
Yeah,
it's all hard. Algebra, statistics, calculus. It's all tough.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's a pretty simple math because, like, to do, you know, you don't have to take the hard stuff. It might just be algebra. I don't know. Whatever high school level math you have to take to get to college, like the very lowest level.
I think typically senior year math class is pre-cal or algebra 3.
Yeah, I believe that's pretty standard.
That's the base level, and then, like, obviously, like...
Algebra 3 and pre-cal?
Mm-hmm.
Pre-cal is, okay, was base level. I mean, I don't know. I took that, like, sophomore year.
Yeah, that... you're right about when you're not good at math, it's hard to get good at math.
Yeah.
What are you mumbling?
Nothing.
You say you're a genius?
I didn't say that.
Oh.
That's not what I said.
Sounded like that.
not what I said.
Okay, yeah, it's...
No, I'm genius.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to... Get good at math. You did nail that. If you're not good at math, it's really hard to get good at math because the way it works in steps, once you miss some stuff, usually for most people, I think it comes about fifth grade, sixth grade. Once you start checking out of that algebra stuff, everything that builds upon that for the next few years is really tough to overcome.
I mean, I do think people understand concepts easily. Some struggle. I do think it's hard to learn how to do those. Like, if you don't get it, like you said, by 7th, 8th grade, it's hard to all of a sudden it starts clicking for you in high school. Either way, math's hard.
Yeah.
J.J. Peterson's still trying to pass that class, from what I've been told by a couple people who would know. So not exactly excited yet. Would that affect how you view the 2018 season if J.J. Peterson isn't on campus? Kind of tying back in that hour one conversation, you know, the schedule with Tennessee's roster and the way Tennessee has recruited over the last 5 years spells out, I guess it was a 3-year size that Will was using, says that Tennessee should go 8-4 if Jeremy Pruitt is a solid, above-average coach.
Will it change how I view the season?
Yeah, if J.J. Peterson can't go.
No. No, I don't think so. I don't think one player, one linebacker is going to change my opinion of the season. What do you mean?
I just mean like effect. I mean, is that one player who we haven't seen play? Now, granted, he was Tennessee's highest recruited guy from this class. Like, is he worth a win or a loss?
I don't think so. No, I don't think he's worth a win or a loss. It'd be nice to have him on the field. I mean,
sure.
to add some depth and – Yeah, not just depth, but he's probably a guy who would come in and play pretty early. But you're talking about a true freshman, regardless of how highly touted he is. Talking about a true freshman linebacker, I mean, I don't think it's going to change my view, the outlook on the entire season. I don't view J.J. Peterson as worth quite that much. You know what I mean?
Now, obviously, you want him on campus. You know, by year two, he might be worth some points in a game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
maybe
yeah.
worth a swing game if you can have really good linebackers. So,
Who came in early? Wasn't it A.J. Johnson and Kurt Majette that both played? Was it that 2012 season? Or was their first year on campus 11? I want to say it was 12. And they came in, and remember, they made an immediate impact in even that NC State game, if I recall that correctly, that Chick-fil-A kickoff. So I remember, you know, those two guys in particular, just talking about linebackers. And Darren Kirkland was the same way when he first came in. So, I mean, a linebacker can make a big difference early on.
Sure, and I mean, maybe, you know, you spoke about those linebackers. I still remember Jalen Reese-Maben, who was
– that's another one, yeah.
Great linebacker, but he didn't make an impact on defense until year two.
Right.
Now, year one, he was a great special teams player. You think back to the block punt against Georgia, you know, and Nealon that got it rocking. A.J. Johnson and Majette's first year was 2011.
Okay,
so
11.
The second year would be the year that, against North Carolina State.
That they were really, really good.
Yeah. So, you know, you think of Jalen Reese-Maben, who was a really good special teams player in year one. And, you know, we've seen what happens when you have bad special teams play at Tennessee. And, you know, we prefer having the good one, I guess is the simple way to say it. We prefer to have the good special teams play. It's not good to have a zero chance of covering kicks or punts without giving up big plays. Like, it's nice to shore that unit up, and that is something that Butch Jones was able to do. Since you brought up the name, he was able to, you know, coach a pretty good special teams. But either way, getting the linebackers on campus, important. Maybe not in year one. Maybe they're just a special teams guy that makes an impact that you can't really see, but then they can grow in to be, you know, all SEC NFL type of players like Jalen Reese-Maben did.
Yeah, and, you know, a guy like J.J. Peterson, I mean, he's that kind of guy, clearly. I mean, you just look at the offer list, and he's a five-star kind of player. So, yeah, you know, you'd prefer to have him. I mean, that's what it boils down to. But if you don't have him, I don't think I'm going to count that one way or the other for year one. Long-term, sure, but not right now.
You didn't get to listen because you were driving and getting coffee instead of participating in the show. But Will Warren said the stats, the schedule, the returning rosters, Tennessee should go 8-4 if Jeremy Pruitt is a zero-level coach effect coach, meaning he's not negative, but he's not positive, meaning he just doesn't get in the way, basically, does what an average coach should do, that Tennessee should go 8-4.
Based purely on the talent on the field?
On talent and schedule.
Yeah. I don't think that's
that same model has Tennessee beating West Virginia.
Yeah, I just don't think that's going to happen. I mean, and, you know, if what do you think's more likely, 6-6 or 8-4?
6-6.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, there is a trend that's gone on for a long time since they've started tracking these coach effect things that says year one coaches generally underperform by one game. Call it whatever it is, year one, you
could
aren't
be any a number of variables.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just first year coach, new place, like has to learn the ropes. Maybe it's a system implementation. Look at Georgia and Kirby Smart, like, you know, they underperformed by two games in 2016, went 7-5.
Hail Mary was one of the variables for them.
Fair enough. Yeah, maybe if they go 8-4 that year, and you know, you don't look at Kirby Smart as, oh, he's such an idiot, Georgia doesn't have anybody, obviously, before he overperformed in year two.
Could be any number of variables. I think back to Jim Harbaugh's first year at Michigan. That was a 10-2 team, and they lost on that punt,
yeah.
That botched punt.
Yeah.
So I heard Will Warren say that earlier. I was wondering if you would catch that.
No.
That's what Will Warren said, because I was listening.
You were listening.
On the drive, yeah. But
T. Bowman tweets in that Peterson is a guy that allows you not to have to play a Colton jumper if the number one goes down. He's a guy who will play and will learn at the same time.
Colton jumper, man, poor guy. Has there ever been a more player that was just hated more than Colton jumper?
I mean, hated
is probably not the right word. But
I did see a graphic.
Disrespected.
I don't know if it was disrespected. I don't know. I bookmarked it. I think I might have lost it over the weekend, or maybe it was like 2 weeks, a week and a half ago, where, you know, like the people who break down the film and come up with like the tackle percentage and all that stuff. You know, like what happened, you know, players in position to make plays when it comes to tackles, and like only one linebacker was on the list of the top five most missed tackles percentage, and Colton Jumper was at like number four.
Hey, it was a walk-on.
There you go. There's always the caveat of that.
He had that Florida game, though. That Florida game, you remember when he graded out higher than any other player or whatever. That was some metric. I don't remember, but.
You know, you're right about that. People were all over that one.
On the biggest stage, Colton Jumper.
Yeah.
He performed.
Okay.
He performed. Yeah. So.
Let's catch a break. We'll come back. Keep talking a little Tennessee football. We'll get to the phone lines. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Back on the program. Excited, thrilled to have a new phone line sponsor. The McKinney team with Keller Williams. Travis and Emily are going to take care of you because they understand that buying or selling a home is a life-changing experience, and they have one simple philosophy. The clients come first. As they are helping you find the home of your dreams or sell your current home, they pledge to be in constant communication and keep you informed through the entire process. Like I said, simple. You come first. Go to Facebook and like Travis and Emily's page. Visit ZillowKnoxville.com to learn more. Let's go to the McKinney team hotline right now. We got Roger. Is that who we got? Roger. Roger.
Hey, guys.
Hello,
hey,
Roger.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine. You know, I'm fine.
Good to hear.
Cody,
I said good to hear.
Yeah, Cody. Okay, but how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Roger. Good morning. Good morning to you. It's a beautiful morning. Hope you are doing well as well.
Yeah, I'm fine. Hey, I just wanted to ask you, John and Cody, about tomorrow. I know, talking to me tomorrow. I just want to ask you, he's talking to me tomorrow?
Intern Andrew, yeah. Cody, somebody find out. I was going to say I thought it was like at 1:30, but I might just be making that up. Somebody find out. We'll get Roger an answer.
Jeremy Pruitt, Jeremy Pruitt will speak to the media tomorrow in Atlanta.
Listen to this filibuster.
Waiting on the page to load here. It says 9 a.m. to 1:15 p.m. Mississippi State in Tennessee. So
Trey Wallace says 10:20.
Okay.
10:20 a.m., Roger.
Perfect.
Right when we come on the air. So don't be listening to anybody else. Just listen to the show. We'll tell you everything Pruitt needs to say, and then you can call in and ask us questions about it.
Are we going to carry Jeremy Pruitt's?
We will not. We are not carrying Jeremy Pruitt's press conference live. We are not doing that.
Somehow I knew the answer.
Hey, John. So I just want to ask you about the SME days this week. I just want to ask you anything you're looking forward to. Hearing from it? Anything specific? You're kind of wondering. Are you looking forward to hearing from
Roger, I appreciate the question. Have a good day, buddy. Yeah, have a good day.
See you, Roger.
I just hope that Jeremy Pruitt doesn't say anything dumb. It'd be nice if he came out and said, yeah, we want to win championships, blah, blah, blah. But like, we know we're not winning championships in year one. I'm much more interested in what he says next year.
I'm going to be singing Rocky Top all night long in the swamp year two.
Yeah, we're headed down to the swamp next year. hey, Alabama, you're next. Like, I don't know. What's he going to say?
That'd be pretty cool. You know, I trained under Nick Saban, and he taught me a lot. And he's a coach that I really love and respect, but I'm going to beat his ass. That's going to happen. I'm Jeremy Pruitt. I'm going to beat his ass. It's, maybe not this year, but I'm going to do it next year. Maybe next year after that, too. It's going to happen. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be refreshing? I mean, the chances of that happening are, you know, zero. But, God, that would be refreshing. I'm just waiting on a coach like that. Because what's the downside of saying something like that? Nothing. Nothing. Once the game's played, you either win or lose it anyway. I mean, maybe the other coach, maybe they run the score up on you a little bit. But who cares? You're judged on the win-loss record. I need somebody feisty.
Does it hurt your job prospects at the next job? Like, say you get fired. Yeah. Say you make the boosters mad because they're always getting made fun of and, like, your coach is just a loudmouth loser. Does it just make it harder to get hired at the next place?
That's why you got to be good.
Yeah. Well, that's why, because coaches are so terrified that they're not good.
Well, Nick Saban should say it then. Somebody who can back it up. Somebody should talk like that. I mean, some school would respect it, you know, that you have that kind of confidence, even if you got fired at Tennessee 3 years down the road. I'm sure Old Dominion would call when they need a coach. Or
I mean, you turn yourself into a star.
Tulane.
I mean, you would think that you would eventually get a TV job. I mean, someone in the NFL kind of set the precedent for this, or I guess showed you the what happens in your career if you're a loudmouth who's overconfident. Rex Ryan. Like, no one's really – I mean, I guess he did immediately get called by the Bills. Like, he got fired from the Jets, got called by the Bills, but then he got on the Bills' nerves, and now he's going to be on TV the rest of his career.
You need a big winner, though, like a real winner. Like Steve Spurrier – he never said anything like, I'm going to come out and beat your ass, specifically, I don't think. But, like, Steve Spurrier, it was fun, man. Like, even SEC media days, now we just kind of look like, blah, 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 you know. At one time, you know, at the peak, I think you had Spurrier, you had Les Miles, Bielema, maybe year one, year two. You had some guys that could get up there and run their mouth, and it was more fun to watch.
That's a good point. I remember one of the first SEC media days I actually, like, sat down and watched. Spurrier was like, well, you know, we're dealing with Alabama down there, and they've, you know, had the number one recruiting class for the last, like, 6 years. I don't know if that's ever been done before. Don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
but
it was fun to watch.
He took a shot at Tennessee that year, too. He's talking about how we were doing cartwheels after beating them.
Yeah.
Even though we went 5-7 or whatever.
Right.
I mean,
I like it. Like, that's what I like about SEC media, or back when I liked it. You know, now it's just the same old thing. Just see guys get up there and, well, we got a really good program, a bunch of good young men, or they work hard, and they're great character, and they're fun to coach, and they're buying in. It's the same thing. Every coach says the same thing.
We take sports way too seriously.
I agree. Yeah,
we take sports way too seriously.
Let's make sports fun again.
People get mad. They want to see things their way. They want to see things their way. They want to see respect. You want your football coach, I've said it, like, he's got to be married unless a woman breaks his heart, and then we'll allow divorce. But he can't just be a single bachelor at a big-time program. Don't give me Cliff Kingsbury because he's not at a big-time program. And even then, he had to be a really good quarterback at that said school.
Is Cliff Kingsbury still single?
I mean, I don't know.
Is he? I wonder what that's like for him.
Probably pretty fun.
Those Texas Tech sorority girls.
Probably pretty fun.
That's got to be.
Probably pretty fun.
Kiffin.
Kiffin had to get divorced, though. We allow divorce. We allow broken man.
Yeah, Layla broke his heart.
But he knew that to get a head coaching job at a big program, he had to be married. Sorry, that's the only explanation he was married to Layla.
Layla, yeah, it's like basically Ricky Bobby in Talladega Nights. That's what Kiffin was with Layla. Layla's like, well, you're broke. Now I got to go. Who's Layla with now? She's got to be with some millionaire, right? Some big money guy somewhere. Actor or something. Can we find that, Layla Kiffin's man?
Well, just think back. Like, everyone hated Kiffin. Everyone hated Kiffin here. Everyone hated Kiffin across the country. I was one of the few remaining people holding any Kiffin stock after he left. as everyone was mocking and laughing at him as he got humbled as USC left him on the tarmac.
I was with you. It was many, many days before we ever met each other.
It was dark.
We didn't know each other.
It was tough.
But there was a guy, there was another guy standing with you on that.
It was tough to sit by, and you know, you were a laughingstock. Everyone wanted to see Kiffin get humbled. Now look, now everyone loves him. Now everyone loves him. There is a lane to just be the loudmouth, brash coach. It's just you have to be clean.
You have to be clean, and you have to at least win some. I mean, you're not going to last a very long time and not be a winner.
Like, I think it would have worked out perfectly at USC had USC not been on all those sanctions.
You think he would have been?
Yeah.
Would have succeeded there?
Yeah, like, they didn't have any linemen. They were down, like, 20 scholarships. Like,
I mean, he still managed to win 10 games.
And that was in year two, and then year three, like, you know. To go back to Kiffin, year three, everyone was like, hey, this is the number one team in the country, even though they had like a whole freshman offensive line and they couldn't block anybody. And then
that was such a joke.
Then they lose early, and then everyone's like, oh, wow, Kiffin must really suck. Okay, he's fired now because he made us look bad.
Yeah, I remember that year. Why they were number one, I never understood.
Right. It's because they went 10-2 the year before and it smacked down Oregon.
They had no depth.
Right.
No, nothing in the trenches.
Did you come back to the mic with details on Layla Kiffin's husband? Oh, you looked like you had finished Google searching.
No, usually I'll like give you like a signal or pull the mic towards me. If I've conceded, I usually just kind of move back to the middle.
Well, how about you don't concede? How about you keep your head in the computer until you come up with it? Well, I'm sure she's got an Instagram.
There was like a break in the conversation. I thought you might ask me to send a break, and then I have to make sure everything's set up to pause the podcast and to break.
All
the
I
mics.
Hear right now are excuses.
This is just everyday work, man. Just trying to make sure everything goes according to plan. Make sure this show floats, not sinks.
Intern Andrew, find out who Layla's dating. Ben couldn't do it. I need you to do it.
Her Twitter has nothing.
Send us to break, Ben.
Home is where the...
I'm in that 745. Hope I can't come scoop. Authorities in Florida are asking for help in finding a commercial real estate agent who owes more than $500,000 in child support and has mysteriously vanished while paddleboarding on the ocean. I don't think it's mysteriously vanished. He said he's not paying this $500,000 in child support. He's dipping. He's out.
Or
he's just going to paddleboard into the abyss.
I was going to say, how far do you think he can get on the paddleboard? That's a lot of core exercise. You ever use one of those?
He looks like he's in pretty good shape.
He owes 500 grand in child support?
Yep. He owes more than 500 grand in child support, and he has mysteriously vanished while paddleboarding in the ocean.
Well, there's two ways to look at that. Did he paddle out and hop on a boat and leave the country, or was he killed? You know, was it a Natalie Holloway kind of thing?
I figured that the more likely scenario would be he just drowned in the ocean. Like, he just kept paddling until the sharks got him.
That's another option. Could be a poll question.
I mean, I don't think it's foul play other than either he got a boat, or he just decided he's just going to keep paddling and he's ready to end it all.
Three options. Did he leave the country? He paddled out and got on a pirate ship and he left the country.
I don't think it's a pirate ship. I think it'd be somebody just picking him up in a boat.
Probably a yacht.
Number two.
Probably not a yacht.
$500,000 in child support? He's got to have some money.
If he
had yacht money, he'd probably just pay the $500,000 in child support.
Yeah, he doesn't
you'd
have,
think
doesn't
that,
have
but
yacht
we
money.
Hear stories of football players all the time who have more money than God.
Well, they don't have yacht money.
They don't have the money. They lose the money. They have it, then lose it.
Football players don't have yacht money. We've had the yacht discussion before.
Right.
And it takes a lot of money to have a yacht. This guy, foul play, I wouldn't rule it out.
There's no foul play. Why is there foul play? Where do you get the foul play from?
Maybe the way it's set up is the money's worth. There's some kind of insurance policy or something, and if he dies, part of the money has to go back to the family.
I'm going to guess that's not how it's going to work because
they're
separated or divorced, I would imagine, or not. But maybe the kids get it, I guess.
But if he owes that money, that would go back somehow.
I feel like you're reaching here.
Well, maybe I'm reaching. I'm just trying to think of different options. You know, you want to say he just drowned.
How do we know he just drowned? I think someone probably picked him up. If I had to bet, if I'm power ranking what happened, one, he paddled out just really far and had an escape plan. Two, he just kept paddling until he ran out of gas. And when I mean gas, I just mean muscles and stamina. And then he just decided to jump in the water and just end it.
Why wouldn't he just leave on a boat from the shore instead of paddling part of the way and then hopping on?
Because now people think he might be dead.
Well, okay, if that's part of his plan.
Now people think he might be dead. This is on ABC7.com, man.
That's a huge platform for this to be on.
Constantine Theoharis is probably
Thesaurus.
No, it's not Thesaurus. 52 was last seen on March 20th on a blue paddleboard heading north in the Atlantic Ocean near his Fort Lauderdale home. He was caught on video on his paddleboard at about 6:30 a.m. His cousin reported him missing 3 days later, telling police he hadn't heard from him since they spoke on the phone March 18th. Now, that seems a little fishy.
He's in on it.
He's got to be. I haven't spoken to a lot of my cousins in a long time. Even my closest cousins. We'll go months without talking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty standard.
According to the incident report, Damien, the cousin, told the authorities that Theoharis had been depressed lately, and they usually talk by phone daily. He was depressed over divorce.
Yep. Depressed.
And child support payments. There it is. And child support payments, but he was not suicidal. They've been divorced since 08, and he owes more than $550,000.
That's what it was, man. He was in on it. He told this guy, he's like, yeah, tell him I'm depressed. Tell him, you know.
Has not paid child support since 2014.
Yeah.
Damien told police he thinks that child support could have forced him to leave the U.S. because of pending upcoming court action for non-payment. Ah.
So he wanted to leave it as a mystery. Maybe he got on a boat. Maybe he drowned.
This cousin's just playing everything. Like, hey, I mean, he was pretty depressed over this divorce.
The cousin's getting a cut out of this for sure. He got a little bit of child support money.
Or he's just being a good cousin. Is he being a good friend.
Is he being a good friend? If the guy owes $500,000 to his kid, is that, I mean.
Well, yeah. I mean,
But we don't know the context, you know. Maybe the kid's a loser.
I mean, we've discussed this before. I mean, I think child support payments sometimes are just outrageously too high.
Yeah.
I think we should have a cap on child support.
If anything, alimony.
What kid needs more than $3,000 a month?
Well, they don't necessarily need it, but the mother might need it if she's a single mother taking care of the kid, you know what I mean? Because
sure. What mother needs more than $36,000 a year to take care of a kid?
Gonna dig in on this one.
I am gonna dig in on it. I feel strongly about it.
You're not supporting
the woman's lifestyle or the husband if the husband's
well, not necessarily
support.
Her lifestyle, but if the dad is making, if the dad has, let's say he's basically abandoned the kid and the only support he gives is financial support.
Okay. $36,000 a month is pretty good.
$36,000
a year is pretty good.
Well, not if he's making $1.2 million. Like, it depends on the ratio of the salary.
The rule's supposed to be like,
I know what the rule is. I think it's a dumb rule.
And not necessarily. It's his kid. I mean, he fathered a child. I mean, you gotta support the, you know.
Right. You have to give the kid make sure the kid's taken care of.
All
yes.
Right, all right. So
$3,000 a month takes care of a kid.
All right. So dad makes, how much you want dad to make? Tell me the ratio. You give me the ratio. Let's say dad makes $500K a year. How much should he pay in child support?
$3,000 a cap per kid. I feel strongly about
okay,
that.
Okay, so what you're saying is it's cool for a dad to just go father a kid. He's like, I want out. I don't really want to be a part of this anymore.
I don't think that's the right thing to do. I do think you should have that right if you want.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think that's kind of a tough one.
I don't think child support should fund a lifestyle. if you can't take care of your kid in a good way with $36,000 a year, that's kind of on you.
I'm saying if you leave your kid, I think it should be a pretty good financial dent you should have to.
Okay, what if you didn't leave the kid? What if the woman left him?
Well, that's a different scenario.
This seems to be what happened here.
How do we know that?
Because he said he's mad, sad from the divorce. Why would he be sad if he's the one that left?
Well, he might have regrets.
Okay, that's fine.
He's sad that he left.
Either way, it's not like he has, you know, like he's distraught from the divorce. So are we going by case-by-case scenario now?
I think that's probably the best way to do it instead of just having a general rule, yes.
Well, you have a general rule now, which is percentage of your payment or percentage of your salary. We have a general rule now.
Well, if we're going to have a general rule, that's not checkmate. You can't just end it there.
Check at least.
No, you can't end that there.
It's check at least.
No, it's not.
Because you said you don't want a blanket rule, and you're in favor of the blanket rule now.
You don't
want to
circle back around and make it look like you're supporting.
Let's see if you wiggle out of it. Let's see if you wiggle out of it.
John Reed is in support of fathers abandoning their children.
Absolutely not.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Absolutely not. I'm against men and women having children for paydays. That's what I'm against.
Well, that's a different situation. Of course, it's the same.
How do you know that this woman didn't look at this guy as a lawyer and said, yeah, I can just make thousands of dollars a month having a kid with him because he has a good-paying job?
That wasn't the scenario. It was his wife, right?
They
had a relationship.
How do you not know? Look at every athlete ever. Have you ever heard of trapping someone for child support payment? Mm-hmm. This happens all the time.
Yes, but the other side of it happens all the time, too, where dad just decides he's ready to go. And abandons his family.
If you would like to make it $4,000 a month cap and $48,000 a year, I won't argue. I think the people that are getting $50,000 a month are ridiculous.
Is this like per kid?
Yeah.
Or just?
I'll go per kid.
Getting $50,000 a month is not ridiculous. If
yes.
Okay. All right. Let me give you a checkmate right here. Okay. Wife and husband have been married for 10 years.
You're giving me.
They got three kids. They got kids. One's 8, one's 7, one's 4, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They got three kids. They've been married 10 years. The family is used to living a certain lifestyle that's based on dad's income.
Mm-hmm.
Dad one day says, nope, I'm out.
Okay.
You think that family should have to go from their lifestyle that they've known their entire lives to living in a studio apartment or something and trying to scrape by?
Well, no, there are things called alimony. Alimony is different than child support.
Well, if you have a problem with child support, wouldn't you have a problem with alimony?
No, because if that's the scenario, the woman's probably going to get half of the guy's assets, probably in a divorce. B, alimony provides things like that. Alimony and child support, drastically different things.
I feel like child support's more important than the alimony.
I'm not disagreeing there either. I think it should be capped.
I think you can judge it on a case-by-case situation.
I think it gets really sticky. I don't trust people to be consistent when judging things on case-by-case
I don't scenarios. Think everything should necessarily be consistent. I think there are other factors involved, like, did dad beat the children? Well, maybe we take that into account, you know? Like, there's certain things that factor in where you can change it.
That was the worst attempt to checkmate somebody I've ever seen.
I feel like I won this argument.
No, you didn't. I feel like most didn't even come close.
I feel like most of the audience is probably against fathers who abandon their children.
I think the court systems are set up to...
I didn't know you were in such favor of them.
I think the court systems are set up to take advantage of the man. I do think so.
Well, one of these days, if I read a story about a local radio host abandoning his family, I won't be surprised.
Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hi.